Think of these figures as I speak of them at the beginning of the message. James Watt and a steam engine. John Fitch and a steamboat. Eli Whitney and his cotton gin. George Stevenson and his locomotive. George Westinghouse and his air brake. Alexander Graham Bell and his telephone. Thomas Edison and his light bulb. The Wright brothers, Jonathan and Aaron. The Wright brothers and their airplane. All of these people contributed to the world in a material sense because they saw something out of the ordinary. They saw beyond. They saw the unseeable. What others could not see, they could see. Yet in the spiritual world, there are other men who made strides in the gospel and accomplished great things for God and were used by God to impact this world in a spiritual sense that we know. God gave Joshua eyes to see Israel crossing over Jordan that others could not see. He gave eyes to Nehemiah of seeing the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt that nobody else could see. But Nehemiah got sight of it. He gave vision to Paul of spreading the gospel to the world and planting churches and reaching out even to the Gentiles. He gave Rahab spiritual eyes to see her family being rescued from Jericho. He gave Solomon spiritual eyes to build the temple. And he gave Peter spiritual eyes to walk on water. He gave David spiritual eyes to kill the giant Goliath. And then in our day and age, he gives men and women spiritual eyes as well. He gave Brother Marzouk spiritual eyes to go to Egypt and start something from scratch that would touch hundreds of Egyptian lives. He gave Brother Hendricks a few years ago vision to leave his job and serve full-time at Mount Zion. Maybe you could never see it. Most could never see it. But God gave him spiritual eyes to see it. He gave some in our church to take up or have the vision to lead souls to Christ and take soul-winning training, and been doing it now for years. Gave Dr. Starr the vision to launch into evangelism and begin a new ministry with many different outlets. Given us vision here to start different ministries over the years and reach out in different ways and minister to one another. The question is this: can God still give his people spiritual eyes today? Is it possible for you to have spiritual eyes in your life to see something that may be unseen by others, but God leads you to see it? This morning I'm preaching on this thought: Lord, give me spiritual eyes. Lord, don't just let somebody else have those eyes, but God, give me those spiritual eyes. And so I want to preach a message entitled, Lord, Give Me Spiritual Eyes. First thought in the message is this: spiritual eyes are needed for spiritual direction. Spiritual eyes in your life are needed for you to have spiritual direction. In our text, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, if you're not there, would you go back to that verse and let's look at that verse for a second. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith can see something in the future that others can't see. Noah could see an ark that others couldn't see because he had spiritual eyes to get spiritual direction. Here, faith is the substance of something now that I'm going to begin to put my hope in, but it's not there yet. Spiritual eyes. It creates a hope for something that with God's intervention can become true. Watch this. There's a lot of turning our eyes on things that do not give us hope today. And I want you to know that living a life of faith is not looking at the things that are hopeless, but getting spiritual eyes to see those things that we can hope for, that God can do through us and in us. When you have spiritual eyes to see, you build hope in your life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 25, the Bible says, "For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Boy, when God gives us hope on something and gives our eyes, gives us spiritual eyes to see something that's unseen, all of a sudden that hope generates and it works within us and it develops endurance in our lives in the present time that we're living in, and patience because there's hope to look forward to. I got my eyes on something that is unseen. May I make some application to this truth this morning, that you must have spiritual eyes to have spiritual direction. For young people, it'll take spiritual eyes to set a goal of getting more training to be used by God at a college level. And God has certainly given some of our young people those eyes. Those eyes to say, hey, I can see off in the distance going to a Bible college and getting training and putting my life and preparing my life in a way that God could use it in a better way. It takes spiritual eyes to come to those kind of conclusions and have that kind of direction. For the young person, it takes spiritual eyes to give yourself to a daily devotional life where you could see years down the road your Bible knowledge and wisdom being so much farther ahead than others who would not put their time into that. And to avoid the pitfalls that many others have fallen into because they've not taken the time in the Word of God. Listen, young people, it takes spiritual eyes to get a hold of that truth. It takes spiritual eyes to get that direction and say, by God's grace, I'm going to establish this in my life. It takes spiritual eyes. For a young person, it takes spiritual eyes to desire personal purity and to maintain a thought life and maintain convictions that don't bend to the world's current, but say, by God's grace, I'm going to get to my wedding day, and I'm going to get to my wedding day pure before God. And I'm going to please God with my body and with my mind leading up so that when I give myself to my mate someday, they get all of me, not just pieces. That's important. Young people, it takes spiritual eyes to see that direction in the Scripture and say, I am setting my face like a flint on that matter. I am going to get there and I'm going to be pure before God. For a Christian, it takes spiritual eyes to see yourself having crowns in heaven of people who came to know Christ as Savior because of your faithful witness. I want you to know the carnal man doesn't think that way. The natural man doesn't think that way. The backslider doesn't think that way. I want you to know somebody with spiritual eyes thinks that way. I'm going to be in heaven someday, and I want to go up and hug a brother in the Lord and see him and see that my witness was able to make a difference in his life. So I have direction today to be a faithful witness of the Lord. For a Christian, it takes spiritual eyes to sacrifice hard-earned dollars on earth to give to missionaries and send our own to foreign soil so that someone's, like Rita and her two children this morning, would avoid the flames of hell and enjoy heaven for all eternity. It takes spiritual eyes to see that, you know what? The extra that I have, or maybe the money that I'm going to have to pray in, you know what? On the other side, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. For the marriage partner, it takes spiritual eyes to give up your stubbornness and bitterness and tear down the walls that you've built between you and your mate so that you could someday stand at the judgment seat and say, Jesus, I did my best to glorify you in my marriage. I took upon myself the form of a servant like you did, Jesus. Jesus, even when my needs weren't being met, I worked to love my mate, my family. It takes spiritual eyes to look at things that way. For the parent, it takes spiritual eyes to see your children being used by God someday and being witnesses for Him and serving Him with their lives. For the grandparent, it takes spiritual eyes to see your grandkids grow up to serve God and maybe even go further than you have gone spiritually in your own life. It takes spiritual eyes, motivating you to cry out to God on their behalf on a daily basis. It takes spiritual eyes to do that. For a local church, it takes spiritual vision to see some coming up through the ranks here going to the mission field in a launching day where we send them and starting churches and spreading the gospel. It's why we hope again to take a missions trip this year with our young people so that their eyes will affect their hearts, so that something might be sparked, that the fire might be started in some heart that ends up on the mission field someday. For the local church, it takes vision to see marriages being strengthened, the strong families committed to God and to each other. It's why we have a couples retreat. It's why we take time to invest in young couples in a Sunday school class and a family conference planned at the end of this year. Why, preacher? Why, preacher? Why, preacher? Because we have some spiritual eyes to see some things that God would want and God would be pleased with and God would be glorified in. You know, a loving couple in today's world is a rare thing. The world doesn't see much of it. They don't experience much of it. For a church and its leadership, it takes spiritual eyes to keep reaching out to its community in a variety of ways and some new ways. We've mentioned the First Responders Day. We've mentioned the Bless the Harvest Day. We've mentioned the Each One, Reach One and VBS and Back to School Extravaganza and Community Day. Preacher, why all that stuff? Why do we even have to spend money on that stuff? Because God loves people. And we're interested in loving people and bringing them to a Savior. That's why. It takes spiritual eyes. We hope to reach out more in the community through the Red Lion Street Fair, but also the Windsor Steamarama this year. We have free access to be able to go in there and have a table, meet people and talk to people about Christ and give gospel tracts. For a local church, it takes spiritual eyes to see men trained and ordained to the ministry. We've set a date this year to ordain Brother Hendricks. He's on a plan to get the education, the part of his education done needed to be ordained. We just met with three of our preacher boys over Christmas and walked through the call of God and walked through disciplines that they need in their life and pitfalls in college. And we talked about their future and the next steps. Why, preacher? Why is all that important? Because we believe in training men. We believe in sending men. We believe in men going into the ministry from the local church. We're setting back funds to be able to have summer interns in the future because we believe in training men. For a local church, it takes spiritual eyes to build the saints up in biblical truth. We're doing that in a number of ways. The ladies' Bible study will continue this year, and they'll be studying Changed Into His Image, and they're working. Connie and Jenny have been working to plan all of that. Why? Because we want our ladies built up in the faith. We want them encouraged. We want them to have fellowship with each other around the Word of God. It's important. The Folks of Faith is a weekly study to put the Word of God in you, more Word of God in us, more focus on faith and unseen. If you're web savvy, on our website, I've started writing a blog called Little Things That Make a Big Difference. Why, preacher? Because we want to get the Word of God out. We want to get the Word of God in people's minds. And you can visit the Pastoral Corner and read on that. For a local church, it takes spiritual eyes to become stronger in personal holiness and sanctification. And at the beginning of the year, on Sunday nights in the near future, I'll be preaching a series of messages called A Christian's Call to Holiness. Why? Because we need strengthened in it. We need growth in it. It's why we're emphasizing passing out tracts this year, for us to become more soul conscious. Watch this. Physical eyes are blind to spiritual things. It takes spiritual eyes to get spiritual direction. Paul said in Acts chapter 16, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. I would say this morning, not only does it take spiritual eyes to have spiritual direction, but that direction ought to be followed by spiritual decisions. Or it takes spiritual eyes to have and make spiritual decisions. Paul saw it. He got a vision of Macedonia. Man, there's people that need help. And immediately he endeavored to go. That's decision. He got direction and he made decision. Brethren, it's not good enough for us to get direction. We have to make decisions to propel us in that direction. And Paul is a good example of that. It takes spiritual eyes to see believers established in the faith in the future, serving and make a difference in the life of the church and in the life of the community. I have those eyes to see more believers become more established, making a difference both in our local church and in the community. Yesterday, we had people out on visitation that had not been out on visitation maybe in a long time, or maybe not ever. I don't know. But you know what? Spiritual eyes, spiritual decisions. That's how it works in our lives. Lord, give us spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes in your life will say no to self, and they'll say yes to God. That's the kind of decisions that spiritual eyes make. They say no to self. Paul said, I'm crucified. I've said no to self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. No to self, yes to God. Spiritual eyes become consumed with doing the will of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse number 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Listen, my physical eyes don't go there, but my spiritual eyes do. And if God gives you spiritual eyes, the will of God, doing the will of God, pleasing God, finding out what God wants with your life and doing it becomes centerpiece to your life when you have spiritual eyes. He said in Psalm 143 verse 10, teach me to do thy will. Teach me, Lord. Lord, give me spiritual eyes to do your will, for thou art my God. Spiritual eyes are focused on the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. When Jesus prayed and taught them to pray, he said, thy kingdom come. That's a spiritual prayer. We get focused on a lot of physical prayers, don't we? A lot of things having to do with the physical being of people, and we should. But do we pray for his kingdom? Is that front and center in our minds, in our hearts? I wonder if you're here this morning and you need your eyes enlightened. You need spiritual eyes. You're a Christian. By having spiritual eyes to get spiritual direction in your life is kind of a foreign thing to you. Maybe it hasn't happened in quite some time. You could be at an altar this morning begging God, Lord, give me spiritual eyes so that I may have spiritual direction, so that I may make decisions that are spiritual. Spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, opened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Wait a second. Is this unbelievers he's writing to? Wait. This is the local church. That your eyes being enlightened. This is Paul's prayer. That your eyes be opened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling. Hey, that you would get some spiritual direction. That your hope would build in that spiritual direction is what Paul's writing. The entrance of his words in Psalm 119 give light. You say, where do I get spiritual direction? Right here. Right here. Spiritual eyes, can I say this? They look in the right place. They look in the right place. Well, direction for my life. Maybe I'll go to a psychiatrist and try to figure out what's all the wrong things. No, you do a lot better to go to the book and get spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is what we need. Spiritual eyes are needed for spiritual direction and to make spiritual decisions. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Spiritual eyes reveal spiritual direction that should affect our decisions. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 was a spiritual eyes guy, if I could call him that. He had spiritual eyes. How do you know he had spiritual eyes? Because he had spiritual direction. How do you know he had spiritual eyes, preacher? Because he made spiritual decisions. And we find it in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, wait, that's evidence in the unseen. So he is making a decision based upon the unseen. He did what? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, and here's the spiritual direction, as seeing him who is invisible. He got his eyes on, wait, God manages my life. God knows the steps that I should take. And I know that I'm to be with the people of God. And because of his spiritual eyes to see spiritual direction, he made a spiritual decision that was hard. He forsook Egypt. That's a decision. He forsook Egypt. He had eyes to see spiritually. He got direction from God, and he made a decision about the direction. Brethren, you're going to grow that way in your life. When your eyes see something spiritually in God's word, and God gives you something, and then you follow through and you make a decision on it, and you follow the leading in God that God gave you. That's big time spiritual growth. We all need that. In Psalm chapter 1, the spiritual direction is that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, the psalmist is writing this, and I can see myself planted by a river and bringing forth the luscious fruit that God desires in my life. And maybe others withering, but me not withering. How am I going to get there, Lord? Boy, I want to be there someday. Read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not. That's decision in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Those are decisions. That's how we get to destiny, is we get direction from God, and we follow that direction by decisions. I want you to understand, a person not making spiritual decisions, watch this. Listen, a person not making spiritual decisions is revealing something. They have no spiritual direction. They have no spiritual eyes. Now, dear Christian, that should not be true of us, because we have the illuminator, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. And he should be opening our eyes repeatedly to truth, to spiritual direction, and spiritual decisions. But if we're not making spiritual decisions, then it reveals we have no spiritual direction in our lives. And Christian, if you're honest and you've been saved long enough, you know we get there. We get where we pass days and weeks and months by, and we've lost spiritual eyes, and we've lost spiritual direction, and we're not making spiritual decisions. Do you know anybody in the Old Testament that got there? Lot lifted up his eyes. A just man lifted up his eyes. Somewhere in his life, he threw off spiritual eyes and he picked up physical eyes. And you look at his decision making from that point on, it was not good. There were no spiritual decisions being made because he didn't have spiritual direction any longer. Because he didn't have spiritual eyes. My friend, I'm speaking to people just like me that battle with what I'm dealing with. And we lose spiritual eyes sometimes. I wonder if you've lost spiritual eyes in your life. I wonder if there's little spiritual direction. There's little spiritual decisions being made in your life. You have physical eyes, you can see everything around you and how bad it is. But is that really what God wants us to have? Doesn't God want us to have spiritual eyes to see things that maybe others can't see, that would change us, that would push us to make spiritual decisions to be pleasing to God? He desires that. Good decisions, good spiritual decisions, are spiritual in nature. They are decisions which follow spiritual direction. Sometimes they're tough decisions. They're not all easy. Some have made decisions to forgive. Getting spiritual direction from God's word. It happened last week. Somebody told me, "Preacher, God got a hold of my heart on that front. And I want you to know, by choice, I forgave somebody in my life." You know what? They had eyes to see through the word of God, direction, and they made a decision. That's how it ought to work. That's how it ought to work in all of our lives. Some have made a decision to get involved in the church. They understand that God's will for them is that they're his workmanship created under Christ Jesus unto good works. And recently, I've met people in my office, and preacher, where can we plug in? Who can we help? Where can we serve? Thrilling! That's good! That's spiritual! That's spiritual decisions. That's spiritual directions. Yet others have made decisions to read the Bible. One believer in the church shared with me personally a couple weeks ago, preacher, I read the Bible through for the first time in my life. Got direction. Made decision. Had spiritual eyes. Others having made decision to get further training. Others have already set goals to pass out tracts this year. That's spiritual. That's what we do. God's pleased when we distribute the gospel. That's spiritual. We get direction and then we follow that direction. We make decisions on it. We move. We act on it. We endeavor, as Paul did, to do it. Physical eyes make foolish decisions. Foolish decisions. I wonder today if at one time God gave you spiritual eyes to see something that God could do in your life and through your life. And you've given up on it. Wait, did God give it? Because if God gave it to you, guess what? He doesn't want to just give up on that direction. And he doesn't want you to give up on that direction. Maybe you had direction in your life and somewhere your eyes turned physical. You know, in camp ministry for the last 20 years, we've worked to have a summer camp, and I love summer camp. And I believe God does a lot of work in a short amount of time. And I believe God works in young people's lives. But could it be that you were in 7th or 8th grade, or you were a 9-year-old, or you were a 14-year-old, and at camp years ago, God touched your heart about something. You surrendered to the Lord your life. Maybe even felt a call of God on your life in a special way. And then the years go on. And you grow up and you kind of think, well, you know, I was awful young when that happened. Watch that thought right there. That's not a God thought. That's not a spiritual thought. If God worked in your heart when you were young on some matter and gave you direction, you know what? You ought to follow that direction. You ought to stay away with the physical eyes and back to spiritual eyes in my life. God, I've got to have spiritual eyes again in my life. In the report of the 12 spies, 10 had physical eyes. 2 had spiritual eyes. Sadly, the decision was made with the 20 physical eyes and not the 4 spiritual eyes. And it was a terrible decision. Why? Because physical eyes make foolish decisions. They make foolish decisions. Saul made a decision, as we studied in Sunday school, to physically spare Agag and the best of all that they had. You know what? He made a decision with eyes. We could use this stuff. Physical eyes, though, not spiritual eyes of obedience. The rich man made a decision with physical eyes. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And God said, thou fool. You're only looking at things physically. You're not looking through spiritual eyes. And that night, God required his life. I think of David, how his spiritual eyes turned physical, brought about some foolish decision making in his life. Listen, no Christian is exempt from that. No Christian. But here's the good news. God gave David spiritual eyes again. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, you start to see spiritual David come alive again. Could I say God revived his spiritual eyes? Do you need eyes to be spiritually revived today? It's a great way to start the year, that God would give us spiritual eyes. Often a Christian will get spiritual sight and find a place to serve God, but when those spiritual eyes become physical, before long a committed and consecrated and serving Christian wonders from his place and begins living with physical eyes. The Bible says of a man that wanders out of the way of understanding that he shall remain in the congregation of the dead. My friend, to wander away from a Bible-believing church and to wander away from serving God, I want you to understand the world is the congregation of the dead. Don't wander there. You're thinking about wandering. Let God restore spiritual sight to you this morning. Physical eyes see the wrong, unseen things. Proverbs 22:13 says this, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets." Now, anybody knows anything about lions? Have you ever seen them in the street? They hang out downtown Red Lion? No. But it tells us something about the slothful man. He sees things that aren't even true in the future. Now, watch this, Christian. You get this point. There's a lot of warfare on our minds right now to look into the future and see things that have not yet happened and guaranteeing that they're happening. That is not the unseen that God wants you to focus on. That doesn't give you hope. That doesn't give you purpose. That doesn't give you direction. It doesn't help you to make spiritual decisions. You know what it does? It clouds you. It blinds you. It hinders you from seeing things spiritually, from seeing what God wants to do in your life spiritually. Because physical eyes see the wrong unseen things. Dear Christian, why don't you turn the tables on the enemy this morning? You're looking through at the future through physical eyes. Focusing on things that might happen or might not. And focusing on how horrible your life might look a year from now. Have spiritual eyes. Say, God, you have a plan for my life. God, you want to do something through me. God, you want to work in me. God, you want to grow me. God, show me in your word what you want. Don't let my eyes get off track. Give me some spiritual eyes. Said, say, not ye, there are yet 4 months. Then cometh the harvest. Huh. Was the focus to be on the 4 months? Or was the focus to be on the harvest? I'll tell you where the focus is to be. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. It's not how quick we're going to jump into misery. It's that, guess what? Jesus is coming. Lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. Man, get your eyes on some spiritual things. Thirdly, spiritual eyes, lastly, are needed for spiritual determination. It's great to have spiritual eyes and get spiritual direction, even make spiritual decisions, but it requires spiritual eyes to have spiritual determination. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:13. Spiritual eyes say this, God has led me in this area of my life. He has led me to sell out and consecrate my life to Him, and it is worth all of me no matter what comes. Here's what they say, here's what the Bible says about those that died in faith. Verse number 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm totally persuaded. I'm not going to see all of God's promises here, but I'll see God's promises on the other side, and I'll live my life for Him while I'm here. Moses said in verse, or it says of Moses in verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Do you see that word? Endured. That's determination. That's sticking with it. That's saying I'm going to stay the course no matter what. I'm going to walk with God every day. I'm going to love my brethren every day. I'm going to do what God asked me to do. God, give me spiritual eyes, because when you set the direction for my life, I'm going to follow it. I'll make decisions to get there, Lord. I am going to stick with it no matter what. It takes spiritual eyes to do that. Moses had to see Him as being invisible to endure what he endured. Christ got spiritual direction. Looking unto Jesus, the next chapter, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. despising the shame. He goes on to believers, lest you be weary in your minds, ye've not resisted yet unto blood like Christ did. Spiritual eyes are required to have spiritual determination. If you're making a decision this morning about something in your life and you've gotten some spiritual direction, may I just warn you that spiritual decisions will be tested. They will be tested. Spiritual direction and spiritual decisions will always be tested. When you are tested, you must be reminded it takes spiritual eyes to have spiritual determination. In the ministry in my life, there have been testing days. There have been days where it's not easy. Hard decisions, hard days. Same for your life. I'm not putting myself in a different category this morning. But you go back to your spiritual direction is what you do. And you go back to your spiritual decisions. And you say, bless God, if those things were real in my life, and they were, then I have determination to fight through this day to another day, or fight through this situation to another situation. By faith, have determination. Abraham left to go where he had no idea he was going, by faith. He left family. Later, his faith was tested when God continued to direct his steps to Mount Moriah and take his only son and go to Mount Moriah and take him as a sacrifice. And you know what? His direction was tested. And his decisions were tested. But his determination took him to the mountain. And he saw God do a miracle. Let God revive your eyes this morning. Let God, seek God. God, I need spiritual eyes. Lord, I can't just walk through life seeing everything from a physical perspective. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed as we close the service this morning. I have a number of questions to ask to believers. I'm speaking primarily to believers. If you're lost without Christ this morning, I invite you to come because in your life you've never had spiritual eyes. But you could have spiritual eyes beginning today by taking Christ as your Savior to forgive you of your sin. And I want to invite you in this invitation to come forward and shake Brother Henrik's hand and say, I need to be saved. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. But I'm speaking primarily to believers that I think are thankful to Christ for their salvation, believers that work to grow and please Him, but believers that must have spiritual eyes. I wonder in your life, how long has it been since you had specific spiritual direction on a matter? I mean, the Spirit of God awakened you to something and you had to get on it. And it was clear. It was clear from the Bible. It was clear from the Holy Spirit. It's like the light bulb turned on. How, dear Christian, how long has it been since that happened? Young person, how long has it been since you got spiritual direction from God? And because of that spiritual direction, you were motivated to make a spiritual decision. God doesn't need Christians making foolish decisions with physical eyes. God's looking for His people to have spiritual eyes, to get direction from Him, to make decisions based upon that direction. I wonder if somewhere along the line you got spiritual direction on something, and then you didn't follow through with a decision. It was given. The Lord guided you. He directed a step in your life. But His leading stopped because at that point you didn't make a decision to follow what God had led you to do. My friend, your spiritual eyes could be revived today by making a decision on some spiritual direction that God's already given you. And say, God, you've done your work. God, I haven't done my part. I have not made the decision. I think of the instance of baptism. Baptism's a clear spiritual decision. It's clear direction. But if you don't follow that direction, God's leading you beyond that becomes very difficult. I think of other spiritual directions that God gives us in our lives. And I think of joining a church as a spiritual direction. I think of establishing a daily prayer time and Bible reading as spiritual direction. I think of being motivated by God's Spirit to go witnessing is spiritual direction. I think spiritual direction sometimes means marking off some things that I've been involved in that haven't been right and separating from some things and pulling away from some influences. I think all of those things are spiritual directions. And my friend, the truth of the matter is, there's a number of things that we can't even think of this morning that God would direct us spiritually. But I wonder if you've responded with a spiritual decision. I wonder if you're here today and you say, Preacher, I need a boost in spiritual determination. I know God's worth serving. I know God's worthy of my all. But I've been low. I've been low spiritually or physically or emotionally. But I do want my testimony to be by faith. By faith, I endured. By faith, I stuck with it. By faith, I just put one foot in front of another every day, doing my best to walk with the Lord, to please Him. Preacher, I had spiritual eyes. I remember days where God's direction was coming. It was like He was unloading a truck into my spiritual lap, so to speak. But somewhere along the line, something changed. And I can't even put my finger on it, but I do see a need to get spiritual eyes again. And I desire it, preacher. I want spiritual eyes again. The simple prayer that I'm inviting you to pray before the Lord today from your heart to God's heart is, Lord, give me spiritual eyes. If God has spoken to you in the message, I'm going to pray. And I don't know how He might have spoken to you. Listen, the Holy Spirit takes a message like this and He just directs it. And He brings about things right to the forefront of our mind and He deals with us. If God has dealt with you this morning on this front, I want to invite you to the altar. And I just want to invite you to pray before the Lord. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, help me to make the decision. Lord, I need the determination. Lord, my eyes are on the physical. My physical eyes seem to be dominant. God, change things in my life. I want spiritual eyes again. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. And God, what we're dealing with at the beginning of this year with our eyes, forsaking the seen and focusing on the unseen, Lord, is a real battlefield for all of us. Lord, tension. Lord, this pull, these magnets pulling against each other. Oh, dear God, I pray that you'll work in hearts this morning. I pray that today, Lord, would be the beginning of revival for somebody, Lord, in a spiritual sense, that they could begin to see spiritually again. And Lord, I pray, I know, Lord, that where there's a desire for that to happen and where there's a humility, Lord, to come before you, God, I know that you will give direction. And Lord, you'll show where decisions need to be made. And Lord, spiritual things can begin to take place again in a life. Lord, you did it for David. Lord, would you do it maybe for some believers here this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. As the pianist begins to play, I invite you to come this morning on this front. Do you want more than where you're at? Is there something that God is speaking and saying, hey, I want to give you something spiritually. Maybe you got direction this morning in the message. Maybe God really laid something on your heart that needs to take place in your life. Let me invite you to come with these that have already begun to move. Lord, open my spiritual eyes again. God, there's something stirring in my heart this morning by your Spirit. Lord, give me spiritual eyes to see. I invite you to come as others have already come. Would you come?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.